We're glad to welcome everyone to our Bible class this morning. And this is not only, of course, our service on the Lord's Day. This is the beginning of our gospel meeting with Brother Wes Hazel. I'll have a more formal introduction later. But we're glad to have Wes and Shelley and their two children back with us here at Flatwoods after 9 years when they were here. And we're looking forward to this gospel meeting. He's going to be teaching the Bible class this morning. And also remember, for those who are able, we'll have a Bible class Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock each morning. And everyone is invited and welcome to come and be a part of that. This time now, Brother Wes.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everybody, and it's a thrill to be back with you at Flatwoods. I was coming in this morning trying to figure out who I knew and who I didn't know and whose name I remembered and whose name I didn't remember. But Shell and I have been really for quite some time looking forward to being back with you here at Flatwoods, and just great honor to be here and so many great memories of this congregation. One of the things that I know I took away from Flatwoods, there were a lot of things, but they say that as a preacher you become a little bit like the preachers that you hear. And after a summer of listening to John preach, one of the comments I got over and over after we had left Flatwoods is, "You sure do preach a lot louder than you used to." Where's John? John wasn't even here to hear that, was he? Oh, okay. He's back there. Okay. But we're thrilled to be back with you, and we're going to be trying to use the PowerPoint during this week, and it's a little bit iffy. This projector isn't the best in the world, the clearest in the world, but if you have any trouble seeing it, just come on down towards the front. We got lots of seats down here. You could even find the new permanent home down here. I know your preacher's sitting in the back now, but I guess that's because he has a baby, so we'll excuse him on that. What I wanted to do this week is to really pursue a theme of the Christian heart, to talk about what's on the inside, to talk about what is in your soul. As you live your life, you know, we can fool so many people, but we can't fool God and we can't fool ourselves. I want us to talk about who we really are on the inside when we get down to looking at your soul and your spirit. And so all of our lessons this week are going to be designed around the heart. And what sort of heart do you have? And this morning I want us to talk about some of the characteristics of somebody that is really in love with the Lord. And during our worship hour this morning, we're going to talk about opening your heart, about being a person that stands before the Lord with a heart that is wide open and says, "The Lord, You lead me wherever You want to lead me. You ask of me whatever You want to ask of me, and I will follow." Tonight, I want us to talk about where your heart really is and how Jesus says we can know where a heart's man really is by looking at his treasure. And during the week, we'll talk about some things such as anger, such as pride, and such as the things that we are feeding into our heart that affect who we are. And so I hope that everybody will plan on being present for each of those lessons. But this morning, I want us to talk about, does your life back up what you proclaim to be true? Have you ever known somebody that said, "I love this person," but yet when you looked at their life, it didn't seem like they loved them very much? Have you ever known a man that said, "I love my wife," but yet he abused his wife? Have you ever known a woman that said she loved her husband, but yet she constantly ran him down and said bad and hateful things about him? I think, unfortunately, most of us have known people in both of those categories. And it doesn't matter if we were to stand there all day long at the top of our lungs and say, "I love this person." Well, we know they don't really love that person because their life isn't backing up what they're proclaiming to be true. Well, by the same token, it's possible for us to come to church, to come to worship, even to come to Bible class every first day of the week and every Wednesday night, and to stand up and say, "I love Jesus," but not really love Him, not really have a life that backs up what it is that we're proclaiming to be true. When we tell people When we tell people that we worship at the Flatwoods Church of Christ, are people surprised that we go to church? I can remember I worked at an aluminum plant. I guess the summer before we came to Flatwoods. And I worked there for about 3 months. And we were about 2 months in, and one of the fellows that I worked with made some reference about the fact that he went to such and such Church of Christ. And I just thought, you know, if you hadn't told me that, I would have never suspected it. Have you ever known someone like that? What's going on there? If you were to ask them, do you love the Lord? Well, yeah, I love the Lord. But yet, there's nothing in your life to show that you love the Lord. And so this morning, we want to talk about, does your life back up what you proclaim to be true? You see, in the book of Revelation, Jesus, through John, wrote to these churches of Asia, and he said, I have this thing against you, that you have left your first love. You see, he was writing to people just like you and just like me. He was writing to the church. He was writing to the people that came together. He was writing to the people that said that they loved the Lord. But he said, when I look into your life, when I look into your soul, and that's what Jesus can do, right? Jesus knows who we really are. He says, you've left your first love. And that's what I've got against you. That's the problem. And so what we want to do is rekindle that fire. We don't want to be people that love the Lord in name only. But we want to be people that really love the Lord. We want to be people that demonstrate that love to the Lord and to the world every day. And so if somebody knows us, and if they know anything about us, they're going to know that we love Jesus. What are some characteristics of this? You know, I guess it's a very difficult thing to define, love is. It's one of those things that we kind of know it when we see it, or we know it when we feel it. But I want us to think about this lesson in terms of human love. Can you think back to that time that you met that special someone? Jimmy, can you think back to that time? It's not that long ago. Your wife's sitting right beside you now. And you remember that feeling that you had? And do you remember the way that you acted? It's almost embarrassing sometimes when I hear stories about how Greg acted. I mean, come on. But you did things that are just silly. Women make men lose their minds. That's a true statement. Why do you do those things? Why did Mark do those things whenever he was trying to win Julie's heart? Man, because he was in love. And love affects the way that we live. In three ways. He could probably talk about more, but three ways that I want us to talk about this morning. Number one, our money. Now let me tell you, when Shelly and I were dating, and I was in love, and I was trying to prove the fact that I loved her, I didn't have very much money. Okay? I didn't even have a job for the most part. I did a little preaching here and there, and I mowed some lawns. But let me tell you that every dime I had something to do with her. I mean, you know, we'd go to nice restaurants. I'd take her flowers all the time. On and on it goes. I spent a lot of money on you, didn't you? I remember when my mother said, you need to stop spoiling her because the next guy's not going to be able to keep up. And I gave her that look that there's not going to be a next guy. Because I love her. And I'm trying to prove to her that I love her. You see, money is a very precious thing to us. Is that a true statement? We put a lot of value in those dollars in our back pocket. Whether you've got a lot or you've got a little, you like your money. And if you want to prove me wrong, you can just give me all your money. Or just give me a little bit of it. But I don't think anybody in here is going to prove me wrong. Because you love your money. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. We're going to talk more about that tonight. And a lot of people don't like that statement. They don't like the fact of that statement. But that doesn't change it. We love our money. And what we do with our money reveals what's really important to us. You probably heard the story about the Duke of Wellington. when his biographer was writing about his life, he said he came to sort of an impasse. Because he said, I have all of these facts about this man and all of these things that he did and all of these things that he accomplished. But I don't really know who he was. I don't really know what was important to this man. And so he began to dig and dig. And then he said, I've got it. I've found everything that I need to know about this man and about what was really important to him. And you know what he found, don't you? He found his checkbook. He found his financial records. Because he understood. If I can see what a man does with his money, then I'll know what's really important to him. What about, fellas, your wife? Now, somewhere in the Bible, I know it says that the woman is supposed to have the nicer vehicle in the relationship. Is that right? I've seen Mark's vehicle, and I've seen my vehicle for sure, and I've seen John's vehicle. We know this is to be the truth. But, fellas, you buy your wives nice vehicles, and some of you probably bought them jewelry, and you might have taken them on vacation, and you might have spent all of this money on clothes. And Clarence, why do you do that?
You love them.
Maybe a better question: why didn't you do that for me? I mean, is it something personal that you have against me that you didn't buy me a new car? Or I don't have any jewelry that you gave me. Or you know what? You didn't even buy the socks on my feet. Why not, Clarence? Is there something you don't like about me?
No, I just spent it all on my wife.
It's nothing that he has against me. It's the fact that he loves his wife so much more. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. When we think about and I ask the question, do we really love the Lord? Do we really love the Lord? One of the first questions we need to be asking is, does the money that I spend, does the money that I give back that up? Is there another piece of paper in the pew here? Another piece of paper in the pew? I don't need one. But if you have a piece of paper in the pew and a pen, I want you to take that out just real fast. Okay? We're gonna conduct a little experiment. And I want you to, if you know, I want you to write on that piece of paper and don't let anybody see this, okay? So if you got a nosy neighbor next to you, just kind of lean the other way. But I want you to write down on this piece of paper up in the corner, write it real small. I want you to write down how much you give to the church and it's covered up with your thumb. Okay? I want you to do that. Don't let anybody see. Just write it down and cover it up with your thumb. Okay, and we'll come back. Did you keep your thumb there until we get back? We need to understand that as we give, and the fact that what we give to the church, and we'll talk more about this tonight, but that when we give, we are making a sacrifice. That what we're giving to the Lord needs to be a sacrifice. There needs to be a sacrificial element. That means we need to be giving something up. I love this passage of Scripture in 2 Samuel 24:24, where David is returning from the battle. And he's had this great victory and he wants to worship God. He wants to make this statement about what God has done for him, about what God has done to him and through him. And he wants to say, thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to me. And he comes to the house of Adoniah and he says, I want to worship the Lord. And Adoniah says, man, David, that would be great. Worship the Lord. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, I've got an altar over there, and I've got everything that you need to worship, and I've even got the oxen. You go over there, and you use all of my stuff, and you go worship the Lord. Sounds great, right? Listen to what David said in 2 Samuel 24:24. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But I will surely buy it from you for a price. For I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. What did David understand? David understood that the significance, what gives worship significance, is not going through the motions. It's not just performing a certain act, but it's actually making a sacrifice. I'm giving something up. I'm saying to my God, you are worth more to me than this material thing, than this possession. When we give to the Lord, it needs to be sacrificial. What could you do with what you give to the Lord? Are you giving anything up when you give to the Lord? Sacrifice determines the meaning of the act of worship. What are we giving up? I had a friend of mine who, whenever he got out of college, he had a really good job. But he had a lot of bills, just like everybody else, and he had loans to pay off, and they were trying to get their life started. And one of the things that he said he really struggled with is the fact that as he went into this new profession, he was still driving a piece of junk. He had like a 1990 Dodge Neon and had rust on the top of it. Some of us know about cars like that, right? My car's starting to do something like that on the top now. But almost all of the people that he worked with, they had brand new vehicles. They had fancy cars. And he said, I can't figure it out. They make the same money that I make, and I'm not being foolish with the money that I make. I can't figure out how they can afford to be driving those cars when I know for a fact that I can't afford to drive those cars. And he said, one day it hit me, they don't give to the Lord. They don't go to church. They don't worship. But he did. And so all that money that he was giving to worship God, well, they had that all available to worship themselves, to invest in themselves, to buy themselves things, right? Sacrifice. He was willing to give up that nice car. He was willing to give up that new truck or that new sports car or that new toy in order to make a statement to God. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. We need to all make a resolution that we will not offer things to the Lord that cost us nothing. We need to understand that. Meaning comes from sacrifice. And we'll talk more about that tonight. So we ask the question, how in love are you with the Lord? And you want at least a very big indicator of how in love we actually are with the Lord? Well, the answer is under your thumb, folks. The answer is under your thumb. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. That's not Wes Hazel, and that's not somebody, some financial expert that's saying that. That's not some motivational guru. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. I should have those letters in red up there. Because we need to understand that. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you really love the Lord? Where's your treasure? Secondly, this morning, when we ask the question, do we really love the Lord? We want to talk about time. What are you doing with your time? Oh, I can remember. Well, I don't have to remember back to dating days. You know what? I like to spend time with my wife. I like all of you, and I got a lot of friends and a lot of family, but there's nobody in this world that I'd rather be with than my wife. That's a fact. I love her. Now, we need some time apart every once in a while, but for the most part, I just want to be with her. And you know what happens when we are apart? Man, I get to wanting to be with her. I don't know how to do things by myself. And I can remember when we were dating, we had one of those long distance relationships. I spent so much time on her. Every weekend, I'd drive home. I would have driven home every night if I could have paid for the gas. Why? Because I just want to be with this person. You got teenagers? Anybody have teenagers that are dating? Do any of you remember when you were teenagers and you were dating? And do you remember having this conversation with your mother or your father? I think you're probably spending too much time with him. Do you remember hearing that? I think every parent thinks that about their children. Why? Well, because their children they're in love, or at least they think they're in love. Time indicates what's really important to us. What do we do with our time? I know a young lady named Jana Hollins, and I used to go to the rec center to work out in the mornings. And every single morning, this teenage girl would be in there, and I got there probably at about 6:05 in the morning, 6:10. And every morning when I got there, she'd be there shooting baskets. There was not one person who could ever say that basketball was not important to this young lady. Why? Because she spent so much time practicing and perfecting and trying to learn. What we give our time to, those things are really important to us. Do we give our time to the Lord? Do we give our time to the Lord? We need to ask that question. I know I'm probably talking to the wrong audience here this morning, but you know, I bet I could tell you right now who won't be back tonight. Do you think that's a true statement? I bet that we could go into a room and I could sit down with the elders of the congregation here, sit down with Mark and with Greg and with JC. I don't see JC. Is JC here this morning? He's teaching. Okay, I'll excuse him for that then. I bet that we could sit down in a room, and I bet that barring sickness, we could tell you within maybe 10 people who is going to be here tonight. I bet we could tell you who's going to be here next Sunday night. I bet we could tell you who's going to be here on a Wednesday night 4 months from now. You think we could do that? I just about guarantee we could do that. Because it's always the same people. It's the same people that are here, and it's the same people that are gone. What's going on there? What we do with our time reveals what's really important to us. I know there are reasons that sometimes we can't be here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where we habitually prioritize the Lord with our time, or we habitually don't prioritize our time with the Lord. What we do with our time reveals what's really important to us. Let me give you a contrast. It's probably the same way here in Flatwoods. But I can remember driving to church on a Sunday morning when I was a teenager. And looking out the window of our car on the way to church, we passed by the soccer fields. And on a Sunday morning, I saw soccer fields that were literally filled with small children and their parents. And I did not understand that. I remember thinking, it's Sunday morning, what are they doing out there playing soccer? And apparently this is something that went on every Sunday morning. This is just something that they did because that was the time that the soccer went on. And all of these young, precious souls that had been entrusted by God to their parents were learning how to play soccer instead of serving the Lord. Contrast that with an article that was in the Arkansas Gazette several years ago. This is probably almost over 10 years ago now. About a young man named Tom Ed Gooden. And the title of this newspaper article was Not on Wednesday Night. And apparently Mr. Gooden was quite a good football player. Played for his local high school football team. And they had some rainouts and some games that they needed to make up. And one of the area teams wanted to make up their game on a Wednesday night because that was the only time that they could fit it into their schedule. But the coach of Mr. Gooden's team said, I'm not going to play you on Wednesday night. Because my quarterback is a member of the such and such Church of Christ and he worships on Wednesday night and he won't be there. You think the light was seen in the world? Now let me ask you, which one is giving their time to the Lord? Which one of those two groups is really in love with the Lord? I know you could go out there and say, do you love the Lord? And everybody will say, yes, of course I love the Lord. Of course I love Jesus. I've known very few people who would deny that. But when you actually look at the lives that people are living, which one of the two? Which one of the two really loves the Lord? When we say we love the Lord, does our life back that up? Does our life in terms of what we do with our treasure back that up? Does our life in terms of what we do with our time back that up? What about our thoughts and our speech? You know, when you're in love, you're just thinking about that person all the time. And you're probably talking about that person all the time. You ever know the guy that was especially love struck and all he wanted to talk about was such and such a girl? I mean, do you just want to tell him to be quiet, that you really don't care about such and such a girl? You know, guys like, maybe Clarence, you were that guy, probably. I imagine that. But you remember that? When we really love somebody, when we really love something, that's the dominant thing on our mind. That's what we're talking about. You ever hear people that are really convicted about maybe a certain sort of financial plan or a certain diet plan or something that's really made an impact in their life? And man, they're going to tell you all about it. Whether you want to hear it or not, they're going to tell you all about it. Well, why do they do that? Because there's some deep emotional feelings with that. What we think about and what we talk about reveals who we really are on the inside. We look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew 5:5, 6, and 7, I don't really want to go into all the detail, but you know the Sermon on the Mount. And you know what the Sermon on the Mount is about. If we could really sum up what Jesus teaches, it would be this. It's not just your outward actions that are going to be judged. It's not just the things that you do or you don't do that you're going to be accountable for. But it's your inward feelings that are also going to be judged. Jesus says, you think that you do well because you haven't murdered anybody. I'm telling you that you're just as guilty if you hate somebody. Right? Well, you think that you've done a great job just because you haven't committed adultery. I'm telling you that you're just as guilty of adultery if you entertain all of these immoral sexual thoughts about the opposite sex. Right? It's not just what you do, but it's what's in your heart. It's what you think about. See, and this is where we can slip under the radar a little bit. Because there are some things that you see in my life. But you don't see what's up here. And I don't see what's up there in your mind either. So this is where each one of us, as we try to apply the principles of the Sermon on the Mount, this is where each one of us has this very personal battle. This very personal cleansing of our soul. What's in our mind? Because I don't know what's in your mind. And you know, my wife could probably tell you a little bit about what's in my mind. But there are some things she doesn't even know that are in my mind. Even the people that are the closest to us, they can't read our mind. They don't know what's in our thoughts. They don't always know what's in our heart. But you know, and the Lord knows. And so this is why this is such important. What do you think about? What do you talk about? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, you know, I said earlier that should be in red, and that is in red, just that projector's not showing it. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, Jesus said that the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Have you ever known a good man? You ever know a righteous man? I want you to think in your mind right now about who you think about when you think a righteous man or a righteous woman. I mean, they always have something kind to say. They're so concerned about being pleasing to God and about being God's servant and about being God's light. We know people like that, don't we? We know people like that. Why are they like that? Because of what's in their heart. Those things start in our heart. You ever known an evil person? You ever turn on the news and you see people that have done things or that have said things or been to places and you just think, you know, the only way I can describe that is pure evil. I mean, you see the way that some people treat their family, or people treat their children, or they treat the elderly, or, you know, with just a total contempt for God and the will of God. Where does that come from? Why do people do evil things? They do it because it starts in their heart. Before a man ever kills somebody, it starts out as hatred in his heart. It starts out as unresolved anger in his heart. Right? Before a man ever cheats on his wife, that starts out as lust in his heart. Before someone ever says a curse word, that starts out as impurity in his heart. Before somebody ever embezzles money or ever holds back from the Lord, that starts out as greed and covetousness in his heart. We get the picture, right? If we really want to clean up our lives, if we really want to have lives that proclaim to our God that we love Him and proclaim to this world that we love Him, then we got to start with our heart. Because that's where it comes from. Otherwise, we'll become like the Pharisees. And you remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said that they were whitewashed tombs. What did He mean by that?
Clean on the outside.
Clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. Oh yes, they did all the things and they were very pious. And you know what? I know what to say. I know what to do. I know all the motions, don't you? Come on, you've been going to church long enough that you know what to say and how to act, and I know how to make everybody think I'm a Christian. So did they. And they even knew how to ratchet it up a notch. I mean, not just you're faithful to God, but man, you people are extremely spiritual. He said, but I know what's in your heart. You're like whitewashed tombs. Tomb is a dirty place. A tomb is a nasty place. There are dead bodies in tombs. But you get a little white picket fence around it, and that'll make it all nice. That can describe us, can it? Isn't that what the Lord's saying? What we've got to be concerned about is not just making sure we got a good paint job on the outside, but that we really are clean on the inside. Because those two things go together. And if all we are is painted on the outside, then that really does us no good at all. Oh, it'll make brother so-and-so think well of us. But Jesus says we have our reward if that's all that we're after. That's not all I'm after. I hope that you think well of me. But you know what? I want more than that. I want my God to think well of me. I want to go to be with Him for eternity. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. The things that we talk about. Do you talk about the Lord? Do you talk about Jesus? Or sometimes are we intimidated to talk about Jesus? You know, sometimes when we're at work or when we're with friends or family members, sometimes that's the very last thing that we want to talk about. Why is that? Because we know people don't want to hear it. If I tell people what I think about something, I know that's going to cause problems. It's going to cause problems for me. It's going to cause problems in my environment. Right? Otherwise, I would probably talk about it a lot more. So that's a real intimidation that we have, but we have to overcome it. If those are really things that are really important to us, if Jesus Christ really does fill our heart and even overflow our heart, then that's going to come out of our mouth. People aren't going to be surprised when we say, well, I go to the Flatwood Church of Christ. If people only know one thing about me. I want them to know that I'm a Christian. Can we live our lives like that? Can we remind ourselves of that as we're conducting our lives? You know, there's a lot of things you can talk about, Wes Hazel. John was getting some biographical information earlier, and some of the things that we've done and places that we've been, and you know, and you could tell about some things that I like to do with my free time and some things that I'm proud of, and we could probably come up with a pretty good list. But really all that matters is that I'm a Christian. That's what I want people to know. But people will only know that if I live it before them. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 and verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Can we pray that? Dear Lord, may the thoughts of my mind, may the thoughts of my mind and the words that come out of my mouth be acceptable to you. May you be proud even when you know what my deepest thought is. May you be proud whenever you hear the things that I talk about, hear the things that I speak about to other people. So, what we do with our money, what we do with our time, the things that we think about and the things that we talk about, all of these are indicators of our love. Now, some people are going to object. Okay? I don't know who will object, but some might object in their mind. And they'll say, but Wes, I know people. I know people who give generously to the church and they attend every service and they think on spiritual things and read their Bibles and they're all the time talking about Jesus. And you need to understand that you can do all of those things and still not really be in love with Christ. I know that. But I also know that you can't be in love with Him if you don't give generously to the church, if you don't attend faithfully, and if you don't think on spiritual things frequently. See, I can do all of those things and still not be in love, but I can't be in love without doing those things. We need to understand that. When we ask ourselves, do I really love the Lord? And am I showing that to Him and to the world? When Jesus wrote to that church there in Revelation chapter 2, He said, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." And that might be the case for someone here this morning. Some might look at their lives and say, you know, I want to love the Lord, and I thought that I loved the Lord, but, you know, my life is not showing that. I'm not demonstrating it in the way that I'm living my life. Jesus says then, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds that you did at first." You know, we've been kind of drawing an analogy between human relationships and our spiritual relationships. And fellas and ladies, we remember back when we were dating and all of those things that we used to do to prove our love. And we used to buy our girlfriend nice things, and we wanted to spend all of our time with her. And we were always thinking about her, and we were always talking about her. And sometimes that changes, doesn't it? I mean, you know, Shell and I will be married for 9 years next month. That's a long time. It is for me.
Longer for her.
And some of you, longer for her. Thank you. And some of you say, "Well, I've been with this old man for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. We might even have a 60-year couple in here." And sometimes we got right there. Yeah, man, I hope I'm there. 63 years. We have to work on it. Otherwise, we look at our lives and we say, we've lost something. Have you known marriages that started out so well? That started out that two people couldn't be more infatuated with each other than these two? And then they wind up divorced? They wind up separated, broken? What happened? Well, They left that love. Because I think it's a fair generality. We, in some way, somebody, somewhere, stopped giving attention to that love. Stopped making sure that their actions backed up the words that came out of their mouth, the profession that was made. Rather, the same thing can happen in the church. The same thing can happen with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That man, when I obey the gospel, I'm on fire for the Lord and I love the Lord and I want everybody to know it and it's the center of my life. But over time, I've been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 60 years. If I'm not careful, I just start going through the motions. I love the Lord. Not because I say I love the Lord, but because I show that I love the Lord. May that be our resolution. And we'll talk more about this as the week goes on. Thank you for your attention.